No one should have to decide between putting food on the table or taking life-saving medication, but that's what many living on Newstart are currently experiencing. Rita Saketa is 54 years old and looking for work on the Newstart payment. She also lives with diabetes, and the $260 a week isn't enough to allow her to eat regular wholesome food and to cover the cost of insulin. She regularly has to choose between the two. She spoke at last week's Senate inquiry into Newstart hearing in Elizabeth. We caught up for a chat and she took me back to when it all started.
I was sacked on the 22nd of March for being a whistleblower, basically. Yeah, and it was April, I think, that I went to Centrelink, and then I joined the Job Network, and that's when my road through hell began, basically.
Goodness. And of course, the whistleblowing, you were doing the right thing. You were acting with integrity, speaking up about something.
Well, I thought I was doing the right thing, and I did do the right thing, and I know that if I had to do it again, I would do it again exactly the same. Because there's so much of that in aged care at the moment.
So what happened when you first started applying for Centrelink? What was that process like?
It was a very long and drawn-out process. And there were times that I felt like I was, I don't know if you know, if you've ever seen an Abbott and Costello movie, but I felt like I was in this comedy movie where, because I remember at one stage I asked one of the young girls, where is my claim? Can I talk to the people who are doing my claim? And she told me, well, we don't actually know where the claims go. We just send them off. And I said, well, what's the phone number? Can I talk to them? Well, I don't know the phone number. We just send them off. I said, well, who's got all my personal information? Oh, the claims people. Well, can I contact them? No, we don't have contact details. We can't give you contact details. And every time I spoke to Centrelink, and it was pretty much on a, you know, two or three times a week. It was like there was a lack of communication. Each person had something different to tell me. Each person had different claim date. And one girl, I remember I was in tears and telling her that I needed insulin. And she told me, why don't you just go to the hospital? Then I actually spoke on the phone to one of the social workers. And her advice was, just hang in there. I'm sure things will get better. So it was a constant battle every day. And you'd be on the phone sometimes for hours. And then not to mention the times you'd go into Centrelink where you'd be in there for hours waiting for appointments. In the end, it took me going to my local MP, Nick Champion's office, to get my claim processed. I was without any sort of income for just over 2 months.
That sounds like a lot of stress for something that people who find themselves out of work are entitled to. Income support is something that people are entitled to and shouldn't have to jump through so many hoops and go through so much stress. It's stressful enough being unemployed.
Oh, it's terrible. And the thing is that I feel like I'm being punished twice because I didn't ask to leave my job. I was sacked, so I'm punished that way. And now you're punishing me because I've been sacked. It just doesn't make sense, does it, you know? And it just makes it so difficult every single day. Like, I've already got a battle to this week. I'm supposed to be concentrating on my course and I've got a battle because my housemate has been cut off and we've got to pay rent tomorrow. So I'll only get my pay, which is $540. Our rent is $520. So I'll have $20 for the fortnight. And if my housemate doesn't get reinstated, then we're really stuck.
Oh, my goodness. You've only just moved recently to try and pay for more affordable rent.
Yes, we had to move because we couldn't afford where we were. So we moved to cheaper rent. But even that now is becoming a struggle because they're punishing him. He's 52. He's been out of work for 8 or 9 years, and they've started him on a course, and apparently he's not doing it quick enough, so they cut him off on Friday.
What about with your diabetes and having to cover the cost of insulin? How much does that set you back?
Well, you know, I get a lot of people saying, well, you know, it's only $6 whatever or $5 whatever, and I realise that, but what you don't realise is that's not the only medication I have to take. I have to take pills for my mental illness. I've got ulcers. I take several medications. And once I've paid the bills, like, look at this week, okay, I've got $20 left for the fortnight. Is it food I'm going to Am I going to go food? Am I going to pay my light bill, or am I going to get my insulin, or hang on, shall I get my psychiatric pills? Or you just have to work out which one am I going to get. And I know, and I've had people even on Facebook, oh, well, you know, what's your problem? You're on a, you get your pharmaceutical allowance. Yeah, but you've got to look at the big picture. $5 or $6 is a lot of money when you don't have it. And so I ration my insulin, and I do. I don't take it every day.
That must put you in a very dangerous situation if you have to make a decision like that.
It's scary because my diabetes, I've had some terrible hypos where my sugar goes very low. I've even been hospitalised in the past for it. And it really terrifies me because when they come on very fast. And it terrifies me. But my whole diet has gone out the window as well, because as a diabetic you've got to eat properly and at certain times and take your insulin properly and at certain times. So the whole thing scares me because I don't eat very good anymore. I don't eat every day. I don't take my insulin every day, so I make sure, because I make sure then that it's spread throughout the 3 months that I'm supposed to take it. So you know, and people don't understand. They say, well, you know, it's only $6, but you've got to look at the overall scheme. I've got to pick and choose what I'm supposed to pay. What am I going to do? Not pay my rent, not pay my lights.
Those are decisions you shouldn't be forced to make.
And that was my point too, is that we, every day, it's like fight or flight. You know, you're in survival mode. Every morning I wake up and it's, God, what am I going to have to fight today? You know, what battle is going to be today? What kind of things am I going to have to choose that I'm doing or not doing today?
One of the things you chose to do last week was speak at the Senate inquiry into New Start hearings in Elizabeth. How did that feel to speak out and share your story with the senators?
Okay, well, it was terrifying, absolutely terrifying. I was debating whether I was going to throw up or burst into tears the whole time I was waiting to speak. But it was terrifying, and it was embarrassing, and it was humiliating for people to know what I'm living at my age. I shouldn't be living like this at my age. And but I knew that if I don't speak up, if people like me don't speak up, then things are never going to change. And I think that our government needs to hear from us, the people that are living it. And that's not what they're doing, even when they say, well, you know, we've looked at the statistics and this and that. But come down here, come and talk to people who are living the experience. They're living in this bubble where they don't understand what it's like. So, yeah, it was terrifying, but it was something that, you know, it needs to be done, and I'll keep doing it. And I'm scared every time. I'm terrified. But it doesn't matter. I'm going to keep speaking up until something changes, because it's not right that a country like ours has so many people living in poverty. It's just something that I don't understand how this could have happened.
What about sharing the floor with others who are living on New Start, despite the terror and the feeling sick and worried about it and the anxiety? Did it feel good to share the floor with others who knew what it was like, who could sympathise with what you were experiencing?
Oh, absolutely. It was almost a liberating thing, because there were people there with similar stories or similar situations, and it didn't matter what age range it was. We're all experiencing the same kind of things, and to have all these brave, scared people together finally speaking up, even though our voices are shaking, that was actually quite empowering for me to be with these people and know that, look, you know what, we're a group. There's lots of us, and we're angry, and we're going to keep talking now. There's nothing that's going to shut us up anymore unless things change. So, yeah, I think it was quite empowering having this support group.
Thinking about others, perhaps others who are listening to our conversation and they haven't had the chance to connect like you have with others living on New Start, what are some words of comfort, words of support that you would give someone if they were sitting in front of you and experiencing similar things to you?
Oh, what can I say? I would just tell them to just whatever happens, just to hang in there, because things have to change. And I would tell them just to reach out. There are people on Facebook, Anti-Poverty Network, Australian Unemployed Workers Union, lots of people on there. Reach out, because there are so many. They might not realise it, but there are so many of us in the same circumstances. So, yeah, it's be strong and hang in there and reach out, because if we all reach out to each other and if we all gather together, then we become stronger. And there are people out there who, even though they don't have much, will help so much. You just have to, you know, and if you don't know where to reach out to, then just, you know, look up on Facebook people like Anti-Poverty Network and that, and approach them, talk to them, send them the message, and they will help you, because that's how I started. I started just looking at what they were doing and then talking to a few of them, and they're the ones that gave me the strength to speak up. And I do just say that, like, just speak up even if your voice does shake, because the more we speak up, the more we get together, then the stronger we'll be, and then the more potential to change the system.
Post the Senate hearings, what do you hope will come about?
Okay, well, I'm actually hoping that Mr. Scott Morrison and the Liberal Party and all the other politicians that don't get it, I'm hoping that they're going to start listening to us. And I'm hoping that they just do we need an immediate increase. Just so that people, because if they just do that basic thing, they need to start treating us like human beings, give us back our human rights, increase our allowances, and for God's sake, stop with that vicious, disgusting, evil rhetoric. Every day, you know, welfare cheats, dole bludgers, alcoholics, gamblers, because none of us, I am not that, and none of us are. They need to get on with the business of giving us a livable wage, and then we can get on with the business of living our futures. Because we can't at the moment. Because all we can live at the moment is the moment, here and now. We can't look to the future. The whole social security system needs just a complete overhaul. We need to get rid of the job networks. I believe we should go back to the CES. And the whole, they need to stop with the disability pension. Okay, there's so many people on New Start who shouldn't be on there. They're disabled, they're ill, all of it. The whole system needs to be overhauled.
Rita Saketa, who is 54 years old and looking for work on the New Start payment. As you heard, Rita is having a really hard time at the moment. She's having to decide between putting food on the table or paying for her insulin for her diabetes. If you can help out, contact us through our Facebook page. Visit Small Change Radio, just those words, Small Change Radio on Facebook. You can also call the station on 7132 5000.